all out. I know this, but I've got to just try to be obedient to what I think the Lord wants. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning and try to give you just a few truths, and I'm probably going to say some of the same things I believe if the Lord, if I know the mind of the Lord and He will help me, I believe we will be off of this text maybe after this morning. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me and for me. Okay, Josh is holding up the microphone, so I'm all messed up this morning. I've been a little puny the last couple of days, and so I wish y'all would pray for me and with me this morning. The Lord has just helped me to unload what He has for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to You today, and I'm most needy. You know, Father, I stand in a place where that's fearful. It's fearful to stand here, and I need You to help me. I need You to touch my mouth and help me to say what needs saying, to say it in the way that be pleasing to You. Father, I pray You give me clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, You have the ability to open hearts to receive. And Father, I just ask You to open hearts this morning. And you know my frailty. And You know my frame. And Lord, please help us. Please help this church. Help us, Father. I ask You to speak to that soul that's nearest hell. In some way, make it a reality to them before they're going to spend eternity. Oh, God, help us to see the realness of these things this morning. Get glory. Have Your way. Remove anything that might be a distraction or a hindrance. I pray, Father, You hold it back for a little bit. And You have Your blessed way. We'll thank You and praise You for all You do. Help us now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to read this same text that I've read several times, maybe twice, and preached on a little bit. Or really, I didn't preach Wednesday night. I just talked to you for a little bit. I want to try to give you just a few thoughts this morning. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to back up to chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. And something I've noticed, it says, and are become such as have need of milk. As if there was a time you didn't need milk, but now you have regressed and become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now I think this is the Apostle Paul who has written the Hebrew letter. That's my belief. And he is challenging in this particular text he's telling them that you should be mature, but you're babies. You should have grown up, but you haven't. And he says, when you should be teachers, you should be productive. You should be able to be passing on what truth you have to others. That you need someone to teach you again, to repeat what you've already been taught before. You have need that you be taught that again. In other words, they did not do with the truth they received the first time. They did not do what they ought to have done with that. And so I've been focused, and really that's my heart's desire. And I ask myself this, how is it we can go on with the Lord? How do we do that? Here's a little church, and we've got 70 or 80 people, I guess, here this morning. And many of you have been here and we've been together for 20 years, and we've come a pretty good ways. Maybe we've advanced. I look back where we used to be and where we are now in a lot of areas. We've progressed and we've went forward. But in the Christian life, and I believe you'll agree with this, we never arrive. There's always room to go farther with the Lord. There's always room to do more. That's just how it is. And as I began to look at this book of Hebrews, I've come to believe that this book is written to help the Hebrew believers go on. I think there's some truths that are in this book that would help us to go on. And here's what I want to ask you. What do we have to do to go on? And maybe I've touched on this or preached it, but it's still on my heart. And so I want to just talk to you for a little bit about this. Number one, we have to embrace truth. We have to embrace truth. Now, these are ABC truths that I'm going to mention. It's what you might teach the primary Sunday school class. But the fact of the matter is, many of God's people are like the Hebrews. They're not going on. They're just not going on. Let's just face the facts. There's many that should be able to teach, but the fact of the matter is, they're just babies. That sounded like an insult. I don't mean it that way. They're spiritual babes. They should be a lot farther than where they're at, but they're not. They're still immature, spiritually speaking, and they cannot do what they ought to be able to do. And so, even though it's primary truth, would it be safe to say, or would you think possibly, that maybe these little simple truths that I'm going to mention is hard for us to embrace? Maybe because they are so simple. And so the first thing I want to say, if we're going to go on, we're going to have to embrace truth. Now, the Hebrews were trying to hold on to the law. You know that. You can see that in the book of Acts. I'm not going to go back and read that verse, but they were trying to hold on to the law and mix law and grace, and it just doesn't work that way. They would not embrace pure truth. They were trying to bring the tradition that they had grown up with and mix that with truth and have a little truth and a little of error, if maybe that's not the right word, but a little truth and a little error and go with God. And it wasn't working. And here's what I want to say. This was a change in dispensations. We know that. We know they are caught up in this going from law to grace. And so they had a challenge to receive truth. And I don't know what your challenge to receive truth might be. It may be you grew up in false religion. You may have grown up in a cult. And it may be you've heard error all your life. And when you hear truth, that error that you've heard may want to keep you from receiving the truth. But here's the simple fact of the matter. If we're going to go on with God, what this Bible says we have to accept as right and truthful and embrace it and say it's right and everything else is wrong. Now, really, that's what's going on in the Hebrews. He starts telling them Jesus is better than Moses. And Jesus is better than the angels. And Jesus is better, I forgot, maybe than the prophets. And then he goes on and says we have a better covenant. And he goes on and says we have better promises. And he goes on and what he's trying to convince them of is that the truth is better than the error that they were embracing previously. And here's what I want to challenge you with. What's keeping you from embracing truth? What is it, if you're struggling with what thus saith the Word of God, what is it that you're struggling with? Because here's the simple fact of the matter. You're not going on with God unless you say what thus saith the Word of God is right, and that settles it. Now, you need to get that. I know that's simple. I almost feel foolish telling adults you have to embrace truth if you're going on with God, but that's just the fact of the matter. Now, here's what we say, and it's a common cliche among independent Baptists. This Bible is our final authority for truth. And I don't know. I don't know why people will not embrace truth. I do not know. Maybe they fear what it will do to their life. I just don't know why, if we say, excuse me, that our Christian life is the best life. It is the best life. Would you, those of you that's living the Christian life, could you say amen that it's the best life? I mean, we know that the Christian life's the best life, and it's based on truth. Why won't we wrap our arms around and embrace the truths of the Word of God and just say, this is how we're going to live our life? That's what has to happen. And I don't know why God's people won't take truth. And here's what we do. We deceive ourselves and we shake our head and we agree with truth and we act like we know it's right. And maybe we do know it's right, but we do not embrace it. Now you tell me why a sinner would risk dying and going and spend eternity in the lake of fire when the Holy Ghost has dealt with their heart and wooed to him and dealt with them, and life is so uncertain and accidents happen on a regular basis. Tell me why a sinner wouldn't, when God deals with them, wouldn't yield to the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I don't know why some of God's people still babes. I don't know why they've not grown. But here's what you have to do. The first thing, you have to say this Bible's right, and I may not be living by it, but it's the truth. And whether I line up by it or not, it's right. And so that's the first thing that I want to say to you. But then, and he spends like 10 chapters trying to show them that our high priest is better than their high priest, and the blood of goats and calves is not as good as Christ's blood. And I think the whole idea is trying to convince them that the true way is better than a religious or a worldly way. And it is. My, it is. There's no doubt about that. But can I say embracing truth requires something else? It requires you to live by faith. Truth requires you to live by faith. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. The Bible says this, and my, you guys know this. I'm preaching little old truths to you that you've known for years, but the Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. Now here's what I like to live by many times. I like to live by sight. I want to see God doing this and doing that. And I want to see and see. But the Bible says we live by faith. And then we come to chapter 11 and we see the difficulties of living by faith. Now faith means, and in the true context of what's being said, the thing of faith is that we live our life by what the Word of God says. That's the context. And so why is it God's people who maybe know what the Word of God says and know it's the truth and know it's the best life, why is it they're not living by that? It's easy to talk, but it's hard to live. Because when we live by faith, it brings problems and challenges into our life. Isn't that right? I want you to notice Abel. By faith, verse 4 of chapter 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now here's what happened to Abel. God told him, Abel and Cain, that he wanted a blood sacrifice. He had to if Abel offered it by faith. Because that he had to know that's what God wanted of him. And Cain, he of course brought his offering his way. Now here's what happened when Abel, by faith, accepted the Word of God and said, I'm going to live my life by the Word of God. He had family problems. His brother became angry. No doubt I've tried to figure the cause of that anger. Maybe it's jealousy because God approved of him and didn't approve of Cain. I don't know. I don't know why it would make him mad. I don't know why Cain wouldn't just do his thing and Abel do his thing and everybody be happy. But Cain became angry at Abel because for whatever reason, because Abel was obeying God. I think maybe some of you's not going on because of your family. It's real quiet in here, but really, I think you're not going on because of your family. If you do what's really right, it's going to make your family angry about it. That's right. Here's what they're going to say. They're going to say, I can't believe you're doing that. Some of you have experienced that with the homeschooling, the godly dress that we preach and promote. Y'all have experienced that. Some of you sold out. Some of you sold out. Some of you mamas dress godly and dress your children ungodly. Well, I'm just going to tell you, maybe I shouldn't say it, but it's the fact of it. That's a double-minded man. And the Bible says you're unstable in all your ways. I wonder how many here, if it wasn't for their family, they'd be more what they ought to be for God. I just wonder that. Amen. I'm preaching it right this morning. You know it's the truth. That's why it's so uncomfortable about it. Here's Abel. He could have said when Cain was getting angry with him. And Cain was getting upset with him. He could have said, I'm going to back down. I'll just offer some vegetables too. Okay, if it's going to upset you so, Cain, I'll just back off. I won't go with God. I know what God said and I know what he wants, but if it's going to upset you, I'll just go your way. I wonder if that's what some of God's people's done. Something to think about, isn't it? Has your family kept you from going on with God? Here's Abel, and here's what Abel said. If you're going on, you're going to have to live by faith and not by family. Now, I'm telling it right this morning. And it kind of stings a little bit because we're all I face the same challenges. And we love our families and we want to be close to our families. And I guess Abel loved Cain. I guess he loved old Cain. That's his brother. Maybe at that time, I don't have all the times in my head right now, but maybe at that time it was the only brother he had. He probably loved him. But I'm glad of one thing. I'm glad Abel stayed faithful to God. He stayed with God, and it cost him. Sure, it cost him. It cost him his life eventually, but it cost him a strained relationship with his family, but he stayed true to God. And I'm just going to tell you, you can try to shortcut it. You can try to get around it. You can try to do whatever you want to do with it. But if you don't put God ahead of your family, you're not going on with God. That's where it's at. And I understand sometimes you have to try to work with them. I'm not that. I don't even know. Maybe Abel tried to work with Cain. I don't know. But you can't sell the truth out in your life to please your family and go on with God. And I don't know how else to say that. If you're going to live a life by faith, you're going to have to live it maybe in spite of your family. And then let's just look on. Let me just give you a few more of these this morning. The Bible says next that in verse 5 of chapter 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Now what did Enoch do? Did he have any difficulty in trying to live a life of faith, what I was trying to get out. In Jude, I want to read to you what it says about him in the book of Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. That's what Enoch said. The Lord's coming to judge you. He's coming to judge you. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And here's the struggle that Enoch had in living by faith. He was given a difficult spiritual assignment. Now, let's say Chad is, and you're not, but let's say you're out in sin. And let's say you're drinking and I have to look Chad in the eye and say, Chad, you're wicked. You're ungodly. You're bringing a reproach on God. And God's going to judge you for your your actions. That's a hard thing to do. But you know what the life of faith requires us to do? Is to declare the judgment of God to those who are going to be His victims. That's a hard thing to do. That's why we struggle with witnessing and knocking on doors and doing those things like that, because we're looking people in the eye and telling them they're wrong. That's a hard thing. My, but can I say, sometimes you have to say hard things if you're going to be true to the Lord. That's how it is. There's some people can't say hard things. Or it appears they can't. They won't say. By the way, you know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6? Here's what some people say. I just want everybody to like me. I want everybody to like me. Let me read you a verse in Luke chapter 6. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. I want everybody to like me. Everybody can't, will not, and cannot like you if you stand for truth. They can't do it. It will not happen. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. The only ones that were spoken well of by the fathers were the false prophets. Here's what everybody wants. They want you to say sweet things and sweet nothings to them. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not living right, the chastening hand and the judgment of God is coming to your life. That's how it is. Some may be living lukewarm lives. Can I tell you, God's going to judge lukewarmness. He's going to spew you out of His mouth. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to, you're going to lose, your works are going to be burned up. Burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. Some are playing. And you can get by. And you knack the roll. By the way, Paul said this, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I think it'd be good if we put away childish things. Can I just tell you, games are for kids. When you become a man, you need to put away that kid stuff. Now that's not me. That's the Bible. Put away that childish junk. That's all it is. It's just something to rob you of your time that you could give to God. And we'll answer for it one day. God's going to judge you for it. If you're a parent and you're not raising your child in a godly way, the chastening hand of God's coming your way. It's coming if you're saved. The chastening hand of God's coming. And I'll just tell you this, there's not one parent that's done it perfectly right. But my, you better be trying to do it right. God knows. Here's what I'm saying. There's some hard things that has to be said sometimes. And here's Enoch preaching to a crowd that's ungodly, as hell itself, and he's saying, God's going to judge you. Judgment's coming your way. You better wake up. Judgment's down the road. You young people, if you're playing loose with God, you better get serious. Judgment's coming. Chastening the hand of God's coming in your life. There's no fear of God. We blame it on everything else. Do you know why our country's in the shape it's in? The chastening hand of God is on us. We've turned our back on God and he's chastening us. I don't think we'll turn back. Why can't we just live by this book? Why can't we just say this is our workbook, this is our outline for our life? Church, why can't God's people just live right and put him first? I don't understand that. Our children, grandchildren, the future of this church, it's all resting on us, just lining our lives up by the Word of God, doing what thus saith God's Word. I know it may cost you some family. I know it may cost you some confrontations for standing for truth. I understand that. We can't go on unless we live by this book, unless we make it our life, unless we line our life up by what thus saith the Word of God. It's so sad, so sad. Some of these precious little boys and girls may be victims of your choice to live ungodly life. I just challenge you this morning. We're going to live by faith. We're going to have to say some hard things. I need to go on. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I don't think I'm stretching the scriptures too much to say this. Or to imply this, I suspect Noah suffered a lot of ridicule for what he was doing. Here's what Noah says, it's going to flood, never had even rained. Never had even rained, Brother Bud. And here's a man of God saying, it's going to flood. There's a flood coming. He starts building an ark. I guess people said, man, you're crazy. You're a fool. They probably mocked it, made light of him. Can I tell you what old Noah did? He just believed God and kept building. We just need some folks who just keep working. Let them laugh. Let them scoff. Let them make fun. Let's just keep working. Let's just keep doing the work. Living by faith will bring a little ridicule in your life. They'll belittle you, mock you, make fun of you along the way. But can I tell you, it'll pay dividends down the road. Let's live by faith. There's Abraham. Man, can you imagine what he faced when he said, well, the Lord told me to go. And I guess old Tara said this, well, where are you going? And Abraham, he just had to admit it. Maybe even Sarah, maybe was a bigger problem than Tara, his dad. But here's what he said, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going, I'm just going. Now, Dad, I want to ask you this, what if your kids said that to you? You'd think that was some kind of nut, wouldn't you? You'd start trying to reason, no, you can't do that, that's not right. Sit down, you're not thinking straight. On and on, you wives, you know what you would be saying to your husband. But here's what Abraham did. He just stayed true to God. We've got to have that, church. If we're going on with God, we've got to have some people that's just going to be true to God and to his word. I don't know how to get that out of anybody. I can't. I really can't. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. But here's what Paul's telling these Hebrews. You've got to embrace truth, but after you embrace truth, you've got to live by faith. It's not a life you live by your reasoning. It's not a life you live that the intellectuals lay out for you. But it's a life of trust in the Word of God. And my, we could go through all these Moses. Jimmy touched on it last night about Moses and his faith. By faith, Moses. We could talk about that. But here's just the bottom line on all this. We have to line our lives up by the Word of God. And no matter what happens, no matter what people say or what people think, line our lives up by the Word of God and let it control our actions and our lifestyle. And then we can go on with God. We can go farther with God. Well, not only do we embrace truth and we live by faith, but we have to, in Hebrews 12, we have to endure chastening. Now let me just say this. Every child of God is chastened. That's right. We all have times of chastening. If you're without chastisement, you know what the Bible says. It says you're a bastard and not a son. That's just, and I'm not trying to be vulgar when I say it's just the Bible word. You're just not a son. And here's what you can do. You can become angry at God and bitter at God when He chastens you. But can I tell you what He's doing when He chastens you? He's loving you unto holiness. That's what He's doing. He's driving you to holiness in your life. That's how our God, He's not doing it for His pleasure. And I'm shameful to say this. There have been times my children's aggravated me so that I may have spanked them for my gratification, because I was upset, not for their betterment. But the fact of the matter is, our Father never does that. He always chastens us for our good. What a good Father we have. Isn't that good that we get out of line and he doesn't chasten us so He'll feel better. He chastens us to make us better and to bring us back to holiness. That's what He does. That's chapter 12. My, you're going to have to entertain holiness in a godly manner, or chastening in a godly manner, if you're going on. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 says this: lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. If you're going on with God, you're going to have to lift up your hands that hang down. What do you think that's saying? Here's what I think it's saying. You're going to have to busy yourself in the Lord's work. The Lord has a purpose for every one of your lives. If you heard the Hispanic message the other night, that's what he talked about, a purpose for your life. Everyone who's saved, there's a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for you. He has a work for you to do. And here's what I think we say sometimes. We say, I'm too old to do anything. If you're just too old to do anything, He'd take you home. When your work's through, I believe He'd take you home. Believe that. As long as you're here, I believe there's something for you to do. I believe that. Are you doing your part? I'm talking about going on. If we want to go on, we've got to lift up these hands that are hanging down and these feeble knees or legs. Let me see how it says it. Feeble knees. We're going to have to walk straight paths. My, we're just everywhere today. We're just all over the place. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to be busy about the Lord's work. And here's what the devil, I think it's one of his ploys. He gets us too busy to carry out the Lord's work. We're just too busy. We got to make the money and got to have this and got to have that. And I know we have to live. I'm not saying that. I'm not that narrow-minded. But if we're not careful, we'll neglect what God has for us to do in favor of what the world or what the world dictates we ought to do. We need I'm talking about going on. This whole book just deals with that. My, we need to be busy. We need to walk straight paths. That's the feeble knees. We need to follow peace with all men. Some of God's people, all they want to do is fuss and fight. That's all they want to do, just fuss and fight. My soul, they get into it at the Walmart, at the grocery store, and wherever else they're at. If you think that's godly, you're deceiving yourself. We need to follow peace. We ought to be a peaceful and a loving. We ought to follow holiness. The Bible says that in verse 13. Or verse 14. Let's just read it. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I've probably preached too long now anyway, but this thing of holiness, thing of the past, we talk every way in the world. We watch everything in the world. We do anything we want to do. Where is holiness among God's people today? And then we explain it away. We've got a reason for it. We give little old, you know what the Bible says about kids? It says foolishness is bound up in their heart. And then we give them a cell phone that they can access any pornography site they want to access. And we think we're godly parents. What's wrong with us? I mean, I'm just asking, what's wrong? And I could just keep giving you examples on things like that. Go down to the mall. There's 12 and 13, 14-year-old girls, and they look like harlots looked when I was a boy. And that's mom and dad's allowing them to go out like that. And I suspect 9 out of 10 of them go to church somewhere. If I was just guessing. I'm talking about going on. We need to go on, church, for the cause of Christ, for his glory, for his name. Let me just touch on these others. I probably could preach on them tonight, but I'll just touch on them. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. This thing of loving one another is just about a thing of the past. We can have a fellowship here where we're trying to promote love and unity among the people, and everybody run, jump in the car, and head for the house. And maybe it's legitimate. I'm not fussing at you. I don't know. It looks like we all love one another enough to we'd enjoy sitting down eating and talking with one another. It seems to me that would be the case. Maybe I just don't know the other side of it. Why is it? We are family, aren't we? We have the same father. We're brothers and sisters. Yet we don't want anything to do with each other. Can I tell you? Something's wrong somewhere. Something's not right. I think if we go on, we're going to have brotherly love one for another. I believe that to be the case. And my, you could just, I'm just picking them out. You can pick out, you could sit and really look close at this text and pick out all kinds of things. We need to be content with such things as we have. Chapter 13, verse 5. Most discontented people I've ever seen. Planet Earth. You let a man raise his kids in this day and time, and many of them will sell their little house and buy a house twice the size that they had, that they raised their family in. I don't understand it. You know what? It's a little sextonology. My dad taught me, and I'll teach you, you can only eat at one table. And you can only sleep in one bed. Why do you have to have a 4,000 square foot house? Only thing I can figure is you're just discontented. Really, that won't satisfy you in a few years. Want something else. It's like buying a new car. Oh, you got to have this car, and after 5 years, you're ready for another one. Discontented. God's people ought to be a contented people. That's what the Bible teaches. We ought to be contented. What He's blessed us with. And you know what He goes on and says in that? Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, you have Him. What more do you need? You've got Him. Well, church, I've got a burden to go on. I want to do a little more for Him. I don't know if we're in shape to. I don't know if we can. I really don't. Let's check our lives out. I know I said some things maybe a little hard this morning, but I don't mean it hard. I just want to go on with God. I just want to go on with Him. Let's bow our heads this morning. I'm through preaching. Maybe there's somebody who'd like to go on. Oh, in my soul, there's a deep longing to go farther with Him.